This is Confidence on the Go with your host, the pink-loving, unicorn-chasing, caffeine-fueled student of fitness and confidence, Trish Blackwell. This is a podcast community that celebrates life and pursues living a life worth telling a story about. You have uncommon potential within you, and you're in the right place to unleash it. Here's your host, Trish.
Hey guys, it's Trish Blackwell. You are listening to Confidence on the Go. This is episode number 131. We're talking today about loud inadequacies. And so in this week's podcast, we're actually going to cover three major things. First and foremost, how our deep hidden fear of inadequacy blindfolds us from actually being able to see our true selves and to be honest, our true potential as well. We're also going to be talking about my most recent lessons that I've learned firsthand this month on how even though I'm hyper conscious of my mental state and of my fears, how lingering and deep sometimes messages of this messaging of inadequacy is in our hearts, how it lays dormant underneath our own awareness, and how I am trying now proactively to learn how to uproot them and weed them out. And then finally, we're going to talk about five ways that you can proactively be weeding out your fear of inadequacy from your heart so that you can stop you from hesitating so much in life and overthinking and living in this like middle state of existence when you really are meant to live with full joy and full engagement and just full authenticity and just life to the fullest. So before we dive in, if you're not yet participating in the giveaway, the major giveaway I'm doing, I'm recording this October of 2015. So if you're listening live, you do not want to miss this. All you have to do, it's so simple to be entered to win over $2,000 of prizes. That's Trish Blackwell programming and also some Beauty Counter products that is my favorite products. I'm giving away, again, over $2,000 worth of stuff, and it's one winner every week. Now, here's how you enter. You go and you search in iTunes for my new podcast show. My new podcast show is called The Confident Mom Podcast. Now, you don't have to be a mom to enter this contest. What you need to do is go check out the new podcast show, hit subscribe, and then write a review. At the end of your review, put hashtag confident mom, and that way I know you want to be entered into the drawing every week. So we're doing this 4 weeks in a row. This is still the first week. Today, as I post this episode live, our first winner is going to be announced on Facebook at some point today. So make sure you are hanging out with me on Facebook at facebook.com/Trish Blackwell Fitness. Really, really excited about this. Don't miss out. And here's the thing. The sooner you go and write a review for the Confident Mom Podcast, the earlier you're going to be entered into the raffle. The earlier you're entered into the raffle, the fewer names there will be, the better chance you have of being the winner. So go do that. I'm telling you, I'm really excited about the new show and so much that I wanted to make it a no-brainer for you to go check it out and to write a review. So, okay, that being said, since we're talking about, we mentioned products and Beauty Counter, I do want you to know, as you do often now know if you're a returning listener, that this podcast is proudly brought to you by the only company in America that is committed to full transparency and better beauty for people and the planet, Beauty Counter. And Beauty Counter's partnership with Confidence on the Go podcast is an invitation for you to join the mission of better beauty. Now, that might be by starting your own Beauty Counter collection and using their products and loving them as much as I do, or partnering alongside us. And so to find out and more about Beauty Counter and get your own Beauty Counter products, go check out trishblackwell.com/Beauty Counter. I promise you will not be disappointed. It is it's the only company I'm willing to partner with and I'm proud to be partnered with. So let's open up this topic. I found a great quote by American author, journalist, and Pulitzer Prize winner, Anna Quindlen. And she wrote that the thing that is really hard and really amazing is giving up on being perfect and beginning the work of becoming yourself. Let me say that again to you. The thing that is really hard and really amazing is giving up on being perfect and beginning the work of becoming yourself. Now, what I love so much about this quote that I wanted to kind of open the content today, the confident content we're going to be talking about, is in order for us to become ourselves and pursue becoming ourselves, pursue being the best version of who we were created to be, we have to give up on this crazy notion that we've created, that we can be perfect, that perfection is something that we want to strive for. So, I think that this desire for perfection is where a lot of our own, these innate inadequacies that we're talking about today are coming from and stem from. Inadequacy, what is it? Like, you know, I looked it up. I was thinking about this a lot recently, and I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. But, you know, tried to think about this as I wanted to prepare to share with you guys this week. Inadequacy is a fear of being found out. I know when I feel inadequate or I'm feeling these like undercurrents and stirrings in my heart of just feeling unsettled, that typically is rooted and grounded in feeling inadequate. It's a fear of being less than, not enough, insufficient, having a lack, being deficient in something. You know, and our deep inadequacies are often that which make us feel inferior. But as you guys have all heard the amazing quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, that no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. So the interesting relationship between inadequacy and inferiority is that when we buy into the whisperings of inadequacy, we actually give ourselves consent to allow ourselves to feel inferior for whatever reason. So we actually are creating these feelings of inadequacy and inferiority for ourselves. Like, we are making them up, and it's a self-perpetuated sort of mini cosmo world that you live in inside of your mind. And here's the thing, it's absolutely ungrounded and absolutely self-perpetuated. And I absolutely want to challenge you today to say that you no longer have to give credit to those voices anymore. Like, there's something to be said, like, we may not always be able to eliminate the voices, the messages, the fear, but it's whether you actually believe the fear or not that matters. If you're going to buy into it or you see through it for what it is, it's a fake, it's a phony, it's a false alarm, it's not true. So I also wanted to think about this when I was thinking about inadequacy in my own life and in the lives of my friends and family. Ways I see it expressed is through insecurity, often through negative thinking, through overuse of sarcasm, when people start using sarcasm as a defense mechanism, fear of vulnerability, perfectionism, pride, living with a drive to prove oneself to others, to prove one's worth, materialism, body dysmorphia, eating disorders, and control addictions. I mean, the list honestly could go on and on, because I think at the end of the day, when we break it down to the nitty-gritty of our heart of hearts, we are all just desperately afraid of being inadequate, of measuring short, of not being enough. Now, I got on this topic and I wanted to talk about it today because, as you guys know, I recently moved. I recently moved from Fredericksburg, Virginia to Ashburn, Virginia. So I moved counties as well. And so I currently live in a beautiful county, Loudoun County, Virginia. Now, until yesterday, I did not know this, but this now makes, you know, kind of my experiences the last couple of weeks make sense. So according to the latest American Community Survey, which was done by, it's actually prepared by the U.S. Census Bureau. So, like, this is a legit survey. The wealthiest county in the United States is Loudoun County, Virginia. So without even knowing it, and in fact, I was surprised. I figured it would be something somewhere in New York or somewhere in California. But for those of you who might be interested, interestingly enough, six of the counties are located in the state of Maryland. Five are in the state of Virginia. Four are in New Jersey. Three are in New York. Two are in California. And one is in Colorado, Georgia, Indiana, Tennessee, and Texas. And that was a survey of the 25 wealthiest counties. So here I am. I find myself in the wealthiest county in the United States. You know, and when I think about that, you would assumably that then therefore translates to this is probably has the highest concentration of what we would, you know, quote unquote, consider and call successful people. And, you know, interestingly enough, at our gyms and all around, it's an overwhelmingly, it's amazing, fit and environmentally conscious community. To say that everyone out here is a go-getter would probably be, I think, a pretty fair statement. In short, when you think, it's like when you walk around Loudoun County, there's this, it's like the ultimate family there that, you know, you see it's the American dream. A lot of people are living out here, and it's kind of beautiful to be a part of. But in short, when I look at it from the outside, you look at that and you would watch a movie about this, or you would see it and you'd go statistically, you would look at some of the numbers and the lifestyle and the things that are available to people in Loudoun County, and you'd say, wow, those people have it all. Must be nice. Must be nice not to have a stressed life. Must be nice for everything to be perfect. Must be nice to know how beautiful you and your family are, know how successful you are, to know that you have enough, to not be feel the pressure of wanting more. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you is that here's the truth that I've discovered in the last 3 weeks of living in Loudoun County. And it's not to, and I'm not surprised by this at all, but here's the truth. And I want you to think about this when you think about your own life and your own feelings of inadequacies, and all the pressure that you put on yourself to just be a little bit more, to earn a little bit more, to do a little bit more. Y'all, everyone here is just like you and me. Like, there's nothing different or special about the residents of Loudoun County. In fact, we are all, I think, as creatures here on this earth, this beautiful earth, is that we have this resounding similarity, is that we desperately all want to know that we are enough. And it's very easy to construct and create a look of perfectionism, a look of a facade of having it all together, of financial success that backs everything up and makes it seem that life should be pretty easy for you. But at the end of the day, I'm telling you, there's nothing different about this county than any other county in the United States when it comes to the heart of hearts, when it comes to what really matters, when it comes to our emotions and our thoughts and our feelings and our ability to make a difference on this earth. I would almost just propose to you that oftentimes the people that we think have it most together are the ones that are actually professionals at hiding their inadequacies. I know that I felt like that. I mean, growing up in through college and high school, as for many of you who know my story, I was the type A, you know, altogether really kind of your quintessential all-American girl next door who kind of was popular. All social crowds, you know, embraced and accepted me, had leadership positions. I was involved in everything. I was likable and I just loved people. And I was a good student. I was a great athlete and I wanted to make a difference in this world. But behind all that, as you know, I was miserably dying on the inside. I had no freedom. I never felt good enough. I didn't think I was special. I didn't think I stood out. I was living with this choking feeling of just, or really it was gasping for breath, feeling like you're just about to drown, wanting to know, knowing that you're trying so hard, and you, everyone else looks at you and says, wow, it must be nice. She has nothing to complain about. But on the inside, I had this big secret that I was miserable, that I was so far from my goal of perfection that it ate me alive from the inside out. And so if you don't want to know my full story and my eating disorder story and my body dysmorphia and how I came back, how I journeyed through that and found freedom, it's all in my book, The Skinny Sexy Mind. So I encourage you to check that out. You can get that at my website, trishblackwell.com. You can also get it on Amazon. So I'm not going to waste your time today rehashing all of the details, but I want you to know is at the time in my life when it looked like I had it most together is when I was most falling apart on the inside. And I share this with you, and I share everything about the new amazing county that I live in. One, to encourage you to know that what you might be feeling is normal, and that if you're crumbling on the inside with fears of inadequacy that you keep stuffing down and telling yourself, well, then, you know what? Yeah, I'll just lose 5 more pounds and then I'll let myself be happy. Or, you know, I want to just get one more promotion and then I can prove my worth. And then it's clear that what I'm doing is worthwhile. That one more, that it's that if then, like that once I get here, like we push our inadequacies and our fears down. And what happens by not acknowledging them is they get stronger and stronger and they take more and more space in our hearts and more space in our mind. But there, it's a space that's invisible to us. We can't, if we don't acknowledge and address that stuff actually is there, it stays there and it grows stronger. And so the other thing I was thinking about with this concept of inadequacy was it came from a race I did this past weekend. I had the opportunity to run the Army 10 miler up in DC. I had a girlfriend whose husband was unable to come, so he let me run as him. So I ran as a 46-year-old mail, which was awesome because it took all the pressure off of me. I knew that whatever time I ran that day would not be in the searchable results because no one knew whose name I was running under. I could run as fast as I wanted and it didn't matter. I could also run as slow as I wanted and it didn't matter. There was nothing to prove, no measure or standard or goal to live up to. I just went out there and I just ran. Now, what was really cool is when there's no pressure like that, when there's no fear, when there's no performance-based merit to whatever you're going to do, there's a lot of freedom to just enjoy. I had an amazing, amazing run on Sunday morning. It was effortless. I did not try. I started off jogging. I just picked up my pace, listened to my body, looked around the city as I ran, and all of a sudden I looked down at my watch, because my watch beeps every mile, tells you my pace, and I was going about a minute faster than I expected I was. So I ended up doing the race at a pretty consistent pace for me, a 6 minute 40 second mile, which is really my ideal pace for something like that. But what was the coolest thing about it is that because there was no pressure, because there was no fear, the potential of feeling not enough didn't weigh on me. And let me explain that. I think often, at least for myself, I realized when I want to really achieve something, whether it's a goal, maybe it's a half marathon time, or maybe it's a business thing, I want to reach a certain number of people, I set this benchmark, and then I feel this like almost internal pressure that bubbles up and bubbles over, and I feel I can feel my emotions getting choked out in case, what if I don't live up to that? And the anxiety kind of back and forth, though, what if I'm not enough? What if I'm not good enough? Or what if I didn't do this right? It sort of leaves me on edge. And interestingly enough, there was a point in the race this weekend, around mile 5 or 6, when I looked at my watch, and at that point I had picked it up and I was going like a 6:20 or 6:30 pace. And I went, this is too easy. Like, Trish, this is too good to be true. You must be doing something wrong. Something's gonna give. I really, to myself, I said, you probably won't make it to mile 8 like this. And then I started going, well, what if I haven't really been doing much speed work, so what if I can't hold this pace? And I had to stop myself and go, okay, so what? What if you can't? That's okay, so what? I think sometimes we can silence and quiet the really nagging noise and that goes on in our minds and throws our thoughts off and throws off our focus by just asking ourselves sometimes, so what? And if that happened, so what? Who cares? And when I started questioning that, I knew it was a great opportunity, because when these questions come in my mind, I go, come on, Trish, you know better than this. You're a confidence coach. You're the one that teaches people what to do. And I'm sharing that with you because it never stops. I want you to know it's just daily discipline, like brushing our teeth. We have to be aware of our thoughts and what we're doing and what we're thinking and the thoughts we're choosing to really listen to or not. So I had to proactively during that kind of the middle part of the race say to myself, the opposite of everything I thought. So at first I was like, I'm not sure if I'm in shape enough to be able to hold this pace. And I exchanged that thought and I said out loud under my breath, I'm strong. I am strong. I am strong enough for this. I can hold this pace. I do not get tired. Switching our internal dialogue really can change everything. And for me, it changed absolutely everything about that race. Whereas mile 5 or 6, I started when I got negative in my thinking, or tempted to get negative in my thinking, I got a little bit tired. Once I replaced my thoughts and changed my dialogue, everything changed. It was like I snapped my fingers and the finish line was there. And so here's what I said to myself. I am strong physically. I am even stronger mentally. And I finish things stronger than when I start them. Now, when I said that to myself, I wasn't sure it was entirely true. But here's the thing. By me saying it now, I'm making it true. Those things, maybe they weren't true for me in the past, but they're true for me now. And I want to give those things to you today. You can make those true for yourself as well. Here they are. I am strong physically. I am even stronger mentally. And I finish things stronger than when I start them. And I want to ask you today, what would happen if in general, as a society, as a community, we started talking more openly about our fear of inadequacy instead of making it more powerful by pretending that it doesn't even exist? What if we stopped worrying about keeping up with the Joneses and being looking the perfect way, making the perfect salary, having the 2.5 kids and the perfectly groomed dog, and we just let ourselves be ourselves? We stop worrying about what everyone else thinks and just live. Because here's the end of the day, no one actually really cares. They care more about themselves than they care about you, but we spend all of our time and our emotional energy wasting worrying about what other people might think of us. And I'll tell you, that's all, it all goes back to this fear of not being enough. And I'm here to tell you that you are enough because God loves you and because he made you and because you have a purpose. You were not born by accident. That in itself makes you enough. Which leads me to ask and want to address, what do we do with feelings of inadequacy? If it's such a natural part of our human psyche, something pretty common to mankind, then do we have hope? Is there any strategies? Is there a way to overcome it? And my answer for today is that yes, there is. But it's something that, again, we do on a daily basis, that you have to proactively choose. But the reward of choosing to live this way, the reward of being intentional and conscientious, is joy. It's full living. It is a lifestyle that will make a difference. So when you come up, it goes back to one of the episodes that we did previously on the difference between the pursuit of excellence and the pursuit of perfectionism. And so I want to challenge and remind you to go back and pursue excellence. We are not in the pursuit of perfection. We're in the pursuit of excellence. And when you come up a bit short in excellence, here's the thing, you still win. And when you strive for being perfect, you will never be good enough. Perfectionism is like an abusive relationship with yourself. And so I think if we can learn how to let go of perfectionistic thinking, we are, 10 steps. It's like that's half the battle of overcoming these, just in general, the feelings of inadequacy that plague us. Because no matter what, we're never going to be good enough, quite good enough. We're always going to be just not right if we're striving after perfectionism. So it's the easy answer here. Stop pursuing it. Let's instead pursue excellence. Now, you might have to do things differently than you've always done in the past. But if you want something different than you've had in the past, you have to do something different now to get results that are different. So be bold and be brave and be open to change. Now, I have 5 ways that I wanted you to give to you today to really proactively weed out inadequacy from your heart. And I want you to think about your heart as if it was a garden, that we're this garden of beautiful flowers, and there are seeds in the soil that you're watering every day, and they have so much potential for beauty to sprout. But in that garden, because the soil is so fertile, there's a plethora of weeds that come and like to tangle in the vines and roots of our beautiful flowers and our beautiful potential. And it's our duty as gardeners of our heart to pluck and tend to those weeds on a daily basis. And then when you think about your fears and inadequacies and the never feeling good enough, and when you think about perfectionism, I want you to think about it as a weed that you have to pull out of the soil and get rid of. And, you know, I have to tell a story. I mean, when I think about weeding, I always think about my grandfather. He weeded every single day that I've ever known him. Now, he's 92 now, so he does not do his weeding. But when he was capable, every single day he went into the front yard and he weeded. He plucked every weed at one time. Because when you stay on top of weeding, weeds never get out of control. Here are the 5 ways that you can weed on a daily basis. Number 1, make the decision to start believing that you're enough. Now, you may not believe it at first, but by simply making the decision to change your way of thinking, you're already well on your way to change. You know, someone recently asked me, Trish, what was the impetus? What was the big push for you when you were in your own journey initially of personal development? How did you really break free from all your insecurity and your eating disorders and the perfectionism? And what was the first step? And my answer, My answer was, the first step wasn't even a step. It was like a half of a half of a step. Because my first step was making a decision that I did not want to live this that way that I was living anymore. I didn't want my thoughts to be plaguing me and making my heart feel dark and heavy. I wanted to find another way to live. I didn't know how to take a full step forward. I didn't know what this other way of living, but I chose to believe that there was a different way to live and think, and that was the first step. And so that's what I'm proposing you today, to always be weeding out your mind and make the decision to start believing that you're enough, even if you don't believe it. Say, I'm going to believe it. I'm choosing to believe it. I'm going to find a way to believe it. But you're making a decision to say, from here on out, my thoughts are going to be different. Second way to weed is to know that perfection, well, I think there's no other better way to say it, but perfectionism is being in an abusive relationship with yourself, and it's time to end that abusive relationship. It's an illusion. It does not exist. So let's make a conscious decision to stop pursuing it and stop buying into the lie that it is something that exists. And more than that, that it's something that you would even want. It's boring. It's boring and it's predictable and it's false. So let's stop wasting our time and let's stop being so freaking abusive to ourselves. It is self-abuse. That is, when I sit back and think about that as a definition, it's a very strong statement to say, but in my own story and in the story and the lives of the perfectionists I know, it's a definition that rings true. The third way to weed out your insecurities and these anxieties and the fear of not being enough is, oh gosh, it's kind of what I've been using when I'm meeting some new people who you know when you meet people and you can tell they're just sizing you up and down and that they're trying to find something to lord over you a little bit. You can tell there's sort of like a comparison game going on. When I feel that I recently have had a lot of that happening because I'm meeting a lot of new people. And here's what I have to tell myself so I don't get pulled into it, so that I don't feel uncomfortable, so that I don't wonder, do I have the right clothes on? Am I skinny enough today? Do I look bloated? Are they judging me? Do they think Ellie's hair looks okay? Whatever that, or they think her bow is stupid. Like, we start worrying about what people think. And here's how I've been self-correcting and weeding my heart when that's been happening, is I remind myself that at the end of the day, we're all the same. At the end of the day, we all want many of the same things. We're desperate for love. We're desperate to know that we're enough. And so I've come to realize that by focusing and loving others, you'll actually free yourself to worry from the worry of impressing others. And you're going to be able to escape some of the anchors of inadequacy that hold you down. When others are judging, when others are comparing, and others are pulling you apart or challenging you to buy into perfectionism or comparison or the rat race of whatever, don't do it. Know that that's a cry for love. They have that cry, and you have that cry, and I have that cry. So let's just acknowledge that we all need more love. Let's acknowledge that we all have more love to give. And let's just start giving more love. I mean, the solution to a lot of this, to a lot of these emotional issues that cause us so much angst is love. I mean, it's so simple, and that's what makes it so, so incredibly often, well, overlooked. The fourth way to weed out your insecurities and your inadequacies and fear of inadequacies. I'm not saying we have inadequacies. I mean, we certainly have shortcomings, but your fear of inadequacy is really the more of the driving factor that drives us to these negative toxic places in our lives and our behaviors and our addictions. But I think it's really important. The fourth way is to name your supposed self-perceived inadequacy and then imagine telling a friend about it. So I want you to personify what you're actually saying to yourself. The fear that you feel, if you feel something bubbling up that I'm not good enough, or you have maybe you have a passion that was put on your heart to be a musician, but you said to yourself, I don't write music well. I'm not creative enough. Or maybe, I'm not as talented at so-and-so the guitar or at creative thinking with music and words. And I'm not the greatest poet. So can I really write a song? What if nobody likes my music? And all these what ifs and not enoughs are in that. So what we do is then we don't take action. And so that goes on in our minds so often, and that we are our own self, we're self-critic. And the things that we say to ourselves, we are often things that are so mean and so critical, we would never dare say or utter them out loud to a friend or to anyone we love. And often some of the stuff that I've said to myself, I wouldn't even say to someone I don't like. Because here's the thing, a lot of times we don't like ourselves, and so we think it's okay. It really is this abusive relationship that we allow ourselves to have in our internal dialogue. But in order to break some of it, in order to weed up some of it, you have to put on paper what it is that you've said about yourself. Put it on paper and imagine that you're showing to me, hey, Trish, this is how I really feel about me. These are the names I call myself. And then we're going to take those names and say, are you kidding me? You look at that and you look at it objectively and you realize how far from the truth it is. And that's what happens when you say something out loud. The reason that this stuff has so much power over us is that we let it kind of mill and linger in the darkness, and its weedy roots just get deeper and deeper and deeper. So I'm not just saying like, let's pull the weeds up, but I'm saying let's identify the weeds so we know which weed killer to keep using against it. So bring that, name your supposed self-perceived inadequacies, and then you put them on paper as if you were going to share them with me so that you realize, gosh, I'm not those things. Oh, it's really mean to say, and that's really not true. The final way is to know that when insecurity jumps back into your mind, I want you to think of it as an opportunity to proactively practice being kind to yourself. So when you feel that insecurity coming on, or maybe you feel self-doubt, or maybe you find yourself new in a place and surrounded by a lot of people who are, supposedly living the life, and you're feeling like they're criticizing you, or you're feeling like you're doubting like yourself, like I was mid-race thinking, am I strong enough? Can I really do this? Don't be upset when you have these opportunities. Don't say, gosh, I should know more than this. I've been listening to Confidence on the Go for 2 years, or I've been reading these books. I've been making so much progress. How come I'm having these thoughts or these doubts or insecurities? And rather than wonder that, why waste your time? It is what it is. You're having the thoughts. Thoughts pop up. But I want you to see the thoughts like clouds. They pass through the sky. They do not have to stay in your thought space. You get to invite which clouds and thoughts to stay that you want. So push the ones that you don't want away, and when you have the opportunity to practice that, it's a skill set that you're developing. So every time we have the opportunity to have to be intentionally kind to ourselves, when we have the desire not to be kind, that's when we are able to learn true kindness. And I'm gonna close kind of this concept out with just a great quote. It's a classic quote from Steve Jobs, and I know you've heard it before, but we need to hear it. We need to hear truth. The more truth we hear, the more it's finally going to settle into our thick skulls, and we're going to start really believing it in an integral sense between our hearts and our minds. And here's what he wrote. He wrote that everything around you that you can call life was made up by people that were no smarter than you. And you can change it. You can influence it. You can build your own things that other people can use. And the point is what he's saying is that you are enough. You are smart enough. You are capable enough. You have enough potential. You know enough people where you're going to be able to learn and meet and connect with the right people. You are skinny enough. You are fit enough. You are strong enough. You are tall enough. You are short enough. You are enough because you're who God created you to be. And if you can learn how to let go of perfectionism, if we can learn how to free ourselves from some of these shackles that weigh us down, the insecurities and the fears and the what ifs and the not enoughs and the constantly striving to and the drive to prove ourselves, if we could free ourselves from that, then we can actually connect to who we really are. We can get rid of the toxic relationships that we have with ourselves. We can get rid of the self-abuse and the self-criticism and the bullying. And we can actually just get on with making a difference in this world. But if you really want to make a difference, you got to be willing to work through this crap. You got to be willing to really, it's a wrestling match with yourself. And I'm asking you to do it for yourself, but I'm also asking you to do it for the world around you, because I believe you are here for a reason, and I believe that you have a great purpose, and I believe that you intentionally cross paths with people in your life, and I really believe that you are supposed to impact other people But if you're not prepared for that, if you're not your best self, if you're too self-distracted and you're too focused on hoping that people have a good opinion of you, you're never actually going to get to be you. And then you're not going to influence and love the people that you're meant to love. So, y'all, at the end of the day, weed your garden every day and go back and pray on it, meditate on it, journal about it, do whatever you can to wrap your mind around this literally, utterly life-changing concept that you do not have to buy into the fear of never being good enough or never having enough, fear of scarcity, fear of inadequacy, fear of, well, anything that starts with fear. Does not have to have this starring role in your emotional life. And again, you don't, like in my own story, you don't have to know all the steps, but you do have to know that you're not alone. Everyone out there is probably experiencing a lot of similar things that you are and thinking about similar things and have some of the similar desires and fears, but that there's a different way to live. And that's the first decision, is just that, okay, I refuse to live a half-lived life. Will you say that today? Will you refuse to live a half-lived life? And if you do, just making that decision, you're already on your way to living an amazing life. We're going to jump to our listener of the episode today, and then we're going to close out the show. Here's the listener of the episode, got her message and was just thrilled. So thrilled, got to make her listener of the episode. Her name is Mia. Now, Mia says, I used your advice yesterday in a request for a promotion, and guess what? My manager agreed to it. Previously, I felt that if my manager saw value, they would instigate it and initiate a promotion, and so I was always scared to ask. Thank you for giving me the tools to unlock my confidence. And Mia, congratulations on your promotion. And isn't that the truth, y'all? You don't get what you don't ask for. What do you have to lose to ask for a promotion? What do you have to lose to ask for a sale? What do you have to lose to submit your book manuscript to people? Worst thing that people can ever say is no. And for every no you get, just launch another thing out there. Because eventually, every no that you get in life is one no closer to the yes that you need and that you're waiting for. So Mia, I am so excited for you. You're getting paid more. That's awesome. And I'm so happy that just some confidence on the go, some trusting yourself and saying, you know what, bite the bullet. Why not? Why not ask that I got to be a part of helping you get a raise? So that's awesome. And I'm also sharing your story because I want anyone else out there that might be in a similar situation to have the courage this week to step up to the plate and say, you know what? I'm going to stop waiting to get noticed. I'm going to start noticing myself. I'm going to start taking action. I'm going to start boldly asking for that which I want. And the worst thing, that somebody's going to say no, and I don't have to take it personally. I'll then find out, what can I do to be considered for promotion, and how long can I come back and check in? Every day that we have the opportunity to practice something that scares us is a day that our confidence is going to bloom and sprout and grow. And you guys, I want to confidently invite you to be mentored by me. If you're interested in expanding your personal growth while you're making a difference in the world, I want you to consider joining my Beauty Counter team. You can email me for more info, trish@trishblackwell.com. I have limited spaces, and I'm really only taking on teammates and girls and guys who are committed to making change for the planet and for themselves and who are going to go all in. So if that describes you, send me an email. You guys, go out there today. Know that you are not just enough, but you're more than enough, and that you are well loved. And you have so much talent and potential and life and joy that is going to be available to you as soon as you can learn to let go of all of this perfectionism, all of these pursuits, the strive to please and perfect and perform. And instead, you just pursue excellence and being the best version of you possible. Now go out there, be more of who you are today. Be you. Be free.
Thanks for listening. You can get more resources and coaching from Trish at www.trishblackwell.com. And if you love the show, please post a review in iTunes so that more people can join in on this community of confidence. Now, go conquer your day with confidence.